actually to all of us.
Yes, amen.
It's a message that would reach all of our hearts. As we preached this morning, he spent all.
Yes.
And it is possible to spend all. And the only way to keep from spending all is to realize all that's been spent on you. And so we're going to further that tonight and look at another word. I was thinking about the preacher and the doctor and the lawyer that went deer hunting. Had you heard that one? And so as it was, the preacher and the doctor leveled down on this 14-point deer. But they shot at the same time. And the deer fell, never moved. So they got to talking back and forth, saying, you know, who killed that deer? Doctor said, well, I think I hit him. And the preacher said, well, I don't know about that. I look like I got him. So they had a lawyer there, and they said, well, listen, you settle cases like this all the time. You go out there and you let us know. So the lawyer went out there, and he looked that deer over and analyzed it the best he could. And finally, he spoke to him all about it. He said, no doubt the preacher got it. And the doctor said, well, how do you know that? He raised the deer's head up and said, look here. Went through one ear and out the other. Well, I hope that we don't come together and it goes through one ear and out the other, but it lodges in our hearts. That's why the Lord placed them there. Tonight, I'm just going to read down through verse number 23, and I'm going to emphasize, enunciate the word that I'm going to pull out of this text and then preach on it, and I think you'll pick up on it. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and have you picked up on the word yet? He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I have noticed this little word. It leaped out. It's almost like ants crawling across the page. The little conjunction, or what we would call a connector in grammar. And I do know my grammar because I was taught in the state of higher learning, West Virginia. The three R's were reading, writing, and Route 77. So, but I want us to look at this word and that is found so many times. As a matter of fact, I have counted them down to verse 32. You may correct me on it, but I think it's somewhere around 53 times When I looked at that, it just spoke to my heart and said, there's got to be a reason why there's so many ands or so many connectors and so many conjunctions found in this text. I realize that the word and seems to be an insignificant word on many levels. When we look at its size, three letters, its spelling, its sound, and even its sight, it seems to be so small, so minor, that I don't know that anybody's ever mentioned to you about the ands that are in this text. But it's not only in this text. I don't know that anyone's ever sat down with the morning newspaper and put great emphasis and said, honey, come here and look, this paper is full of ands. As a matter of fact, if you read or if you've been taught anything about speed reading, what you know you do is you pass over the smaller, lesser words to focus on those words that depict and show imagination and picture and so on and so forth. Seems to be such an insignificant, small word that we never really give it much thought. But yet as we look at this text, what we realize, again, not only in this text, but we find throughout the Bible and in every book that you would read, and that is that the word and is very, very important. It's very, as a matter of fact, it's very significant and it's very prominent. Could you imagine reading something that has no ands in it? Because what an and does is it connects words, it connects phrases, it connects thoughts, it connects stories together. Right. Whereby that if you simply take the and out of a conversation, it doesn't make sense at all. If you take the and out of this text, it will not, you'll not be able to understand it. As a matter of fact, if you were to sit around at Christmas time when all your family's together and intentionally leave out the word and in your conversation, they're probably going to be baffled at you and maybe call 911 and say he's had a stroke, he just doesn't make sense. And it's simply because you left the one word and out that is vital and important. I love to listen to people testify, but of late, since this has been on my heart, as I listen to their testimonies, I listen to how many ands that connects all that together that brings them to Christ. It's that way in the Bible. Yes. I was looking up in the Strong's Concordance and I found out while there are 53 ands in this text alone, that there's 23,875 ends in the Bible. Amen. Oh, how vital and how important. As a matter of fact, these ends are so vital in creation and they're so vital in salvation. As I say, they're like ants that just crawl across the Word of God. Take just a moment, if you will, and go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and look at it. Look at where creation would be if there had not been the ends that connected and conjuncted everything together that God made. I have no way I'll read them all just in the first chapter. There's many, many of them. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then verse 3, and God said to be light, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Verse 7, and God made the firmament. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. Verse 9, and God said, you can look down through there, and almost every single verse, there is that connector, that all-important word that is called and just in creation. That's how vital it is. Then I'd like for you to go for a moment to the book of Ruth and chapter number 1. Notice the ends that connect Ruth to the family of God. I'm talking about the end of salvation now. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went and sojourned in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, The name and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And of course, you know how the story unfolds with the two sons marrying the two girls, and they die. And notice with me in verse number 22, the Bible said, "And Naomi," look at this, "and Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." God is anding Ruth. Now, he did not and, or there's no and for Orpah, but there's an and for Ruth that brings her into Israel. Look in verse 1 of chapter 2. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Look in verse 3. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field of the reapers, and her hap was to light upon the part of the field belonging unto Boaz." God is anding Boaz into Ruth's life. You say, well, how important is that? Well, look in chapter number 4. I'm talking about this little word and. Verse 13 in chapter 4. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception. She bare a son." Now look in verse number 18. "Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed." And notice this. "And," aren't you glad this ends there? "And," aren't you glad God put another "and"? He pasted another "and" there. "And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David." What's amazing how God plugged things in. Now, you say, well, is that the end of it? No, look at Matthew chapter number 1. It gives the genealogy of Jesus. We'll not read them, but you can look down through them when you get time scanning in verse 1 down through verse number 17. There's 42 ands that connects generation after generation after generation. Where is it going? Look in verse 21. I mean, it talks about verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and so on. But look in verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son." Woo-hoo. I'm glad that "and" was there, aren't you? "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." Look in verse 25. "And knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
Yes, amen.
Think about that. 23,875 ands to bring Jesus to me and you. Boy, that's a lot of ands, ain't it? 23,875 ands brought Jesus to me and brought Jesus to you. I'm talking about this insignificant word is really a word that is very important and a word that is very vital in creation and vital in salvation. It is a word seemingly insignificant, but a word that is important. But I want to tell you something. It is inspired. This is an inspired word.
Yes.
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but of every what? Word. Is that not a word?
Yes, it is.
The word "and" is a detailed word in the Greek and the Hebrew. It is present there. It's not just jumbled up together with another word giving it lesser meaning. It stands alone, even in the Greek and the Hebrew. It stands alone as it does in the Word of God here in your King James Bible. What I'm simply saying to you, when God breathed, he didn't just breathe the big words. He breathed the little words so you could understand and connect the big words. Oh, can I say to you, thank God for the ends that are in the Word of God that brings it all together. That if you took one end out of this Bible, honey, you would have destroyed the whole book. It has to be coupled together. It has to be joined together. It has to move on. And it is the ends that plugs everything in the Word of God. I want you to know, thank God for the word and that we find here in this little parable. 53 ends in that parable right there. 23,875 ends brought Jesus to me. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
But you know, that's not counting all the ends that has been used to get me to Jesus.
Amen.
See, that's in a personal way. Looking back over your life and realizing that if certain connections, certain people, and certain places hadn't transpired, you wouldn't be who you are, and you wouldn't be where you are.
Amen.
I think about my own life, raised back in the hills of West Virginia, and I've testified to it here before, my dad being an alcoholic all of his days, buried four brothers because of alcohol, and the history of it, there was 11 children born, two died before adulthood, the rest of us, nine of us, grew to be adults. My mother left when I was a year and a half old, never set eyes on her. And my dad never remarried, so we were raised in that type of environment. The record that I know was told to me by uncles and aunts that my mom and dad never really cared for one another. On one occasion, he pushed her out of a Jeep and tried to kill her. On another occasion, he pushed her down a flight of steps when she was expecting. A brother who, at that time, he's many years older than I, was 13 years old, and he tells me of how he stood between my mother when my dad was passed out, and she was going to stick him with a knife, and he stopped her. I said, well, I was raised in a dysfunctional family, but it didn't affect me none. But you would wonder how two people could get together that really must not have liked one another. But they had one child, and I guess that's okay. But if you get it figured out, best thing to do is, you know, let's stop right here. But they got another child. And then they had a third child, and then they had a fourth child, and then they had a fifth child, and then they had a sixth child, and then they, and I know the neighborhoods, I mean, they're probably saying, I wish you'd quit. You're turning these kids loose on the community. And then they had an eighth child, they had a ninth child, and somebody probably said, well, maybe they'll quit at 10. But they didn't quit at 10. And they had an 11th child. You'd say, why? Because you're looking at it. God said, you're not going to stop with 9 or 10. You're going to go to 11 because I'm going to save 11, fill him with the Holy Ghost, and send him across the country preaching the gospel. I'm glad that God made room for me and plugged me in. But oh, the many plug-ins that God has placed in my life, the many connections that God has placed, the many conjunctions that God has placed in my life to bring me to my wife and to call me into the ministry and to allow me to go from church to church and to preach the gospel. I got no way. I know it was 23,875 hands that got Jesus to me. I don't know how many ends it took to get me to where Jesus was. But the ends plugged us together. We were ended in. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
We were ended in. Now, I said all that to say this, three things. I'm talking about these ends in this text. The first thing I notice about all of these ends is that these ends are personal. Some of the ends have to do with the son that is rebellious. Some of the ands are mentioned concerning the far country, the people there. Some of the ands deal with the father in the text. Some of the ands deal with the servant. And some of the ands deal with the elder brother. But here's the truth of the matter. All of us have our own ands that tell the story of our lives as to where we've come from and where we are. But in those ends, what we've got to do is lay claim to them, because those ends are our ends.
Yes.
And we must be careful in the connections that we choose and the decisions that we make and the people that we plug into, because we cannot blame, the prodigal son cannot blame the end of the far country on anybody else. That is his own end. He cannot blame the end of the lifestyle and the people that he joined up with there on anybody. That was his own end. Each of these ends have a connection to each of these lives that all of us must admit and confess that we've laid out many times. We plugged in some things we had wish we hadn't have plugged into. But we plugged into some things that, thank God, we have plugged into.
Yes.
The fact that you, with all that you did today, could add an end. I mean, you could add an end.
Right.
I came, got up this morning, and I got ready. And we got in the truck. And we came to the house of God. And I preached. And went over to the preacher and his wife's house, and they made us eat. I mean, I told him, I'm on a diet. I don't want to eat too much. And Brother Billy pulled a gun out and laid her on the table and said, you'll eat or else. I thought about calling the law. But I thought, well, I'll wait until after dessert. And by that time, I done forgot about it. Hallelujah. But and I went to the camp, and we took a nap, and we got ready again, and we come back to the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what an and it is when you go to the right place with the right people and do the right thing. But hey, we got to all confess that we've all got our own ands that create and formulate a lot of the story that we live. There are ands that you've got in your life and ands that I've got in my life. The second thing I would say to you, I'm going to tell you this sermon is short, because how long can you preach on and? Three letters. It is not only that this word and is personal to all of us, that we'll all have to confess that we are where we are at many times because of the decisions that we make, the things that we couple to. Oh, listen. The second thing that I would say to you, that ands make our lives predictable.
Yes.
In other words, the plug-ins and connections of your past will determine the plug-ins and connections of your future.
Right.
If I'm standing on the front porch with this old boy, and I hear him talk to his father like he does, and I see him heading off to the far country, I can tell him ahead of time, son, your ends are leading you to a place of destruction.
Right.
The past ends, those. If you want to know what your tomorrow is going to be like, look at your today and your yesterday, and it will tell you all about it. I witnessed to my brothers until I was blue in the face, telling them what they already knew. Because my dad died, and of course all the alcohol with that. And then my youngest brother, who was an alcoholic, believe it or not, at 12 years old. And he died at 45 years old, knowing the effects of alcohol. The next brother was 49 years old, 4 years older than the one that had just passed away. And just 2 years later, he the same thing happened to him, to Craig, that happened to Reed. And then my brother Ward, who passed away just a couple of 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I set him down. I said, Ward, you saw Craig, you saw Jack, you know where this is going to take. Oh, no, it won't. And it did the same. They all died the same way because of the effects of alcohol. They had handed themselves into that environment with those type people and that type of vice, and there was only one way it was going to lead. I knew it was going to go that way. On the opposite side of that, I like what the scripture tells us in 2 Kings chapter number 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah up to heaven. Where would you think he was going to be handed to? I mean, when you read Elijah's life, even in the New Testament, they thought Elijah, that Jesus was Elijah, had come back. They also thought Jesus said, he said, well, John came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I'm going to tell you something. If folks mistake you for Jesus and mistake you for John the Baptist, I think you're headed in the right direction. And it came to pass. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm pretty sure Jezebel ain't in heaven. I mean, when I look at the ends and you go back, she's got them. Elijah's life is filled. That text is filled with ends. I can tell you where Ahab is. I can tell you where Jezebel is, because I follow their ends and they lead straight down. But when I follow Elijah's ends, they lead straight up. I like what one old mountain fella back in the mountains of North Carolina, they asked him one day, said, how do you know that you're not going to hell? He said, because I ain't headed in that direction. Hallelujah. And the way you'll know is look at your connections, look at your couplers, look at those things that you are plugged into, and you'll know where you're going to end up. Right. Can I get an amen? Oh, I say to you, the ends of this boy's life, of this ever story, is filled with them. The ends are personal. The ends are predictable. You don't have to guess about where you're headed. Just look at your connect. Young people, if you're connected to the wrong people, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to get no better down the road. That people ain't going to get no better down the road. If you're connected to the wrong vices, I mean to vices, it's not headed in the right direction. But oh, if you like the gospel, if you like, I mean, you're handed to the Word of God, the things of God, the people of God. You're headed in the right direction. Amen. I heard that. But the ends, 53 of them. 53 of them, if I'm counting them correctly. They are personal. They are predictable. But you know, the thing that blesses me about this is I see that the ends of the Word of God are so divine, and how that providence spreads the ends. They are providential. Where would this boy be if he'd have been stuck with his ends? But aren't you glad that God got down in your life and he began to spread out his ends? And that's the reason why that the only explanation that you have for where you're at right now is not that you've leaned on your hands, but thank God the Lord in providence brought you at the right place at the right time where you met the right person, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and ended you in to his family. I mean, all those ends, I say to you, 23,875 brought Jesus to me, but oh, all of those ends that God sprinkled in.
Absolutely.
That brought Jesus to where I am. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, well, preacher, what is the emphasis here? Well, just make sure you're plugged in right.
Amen.
Make sure you're ended right and conjuncted right. But here's how I would end it. The best way to handle all these ends is make sure that you've given all to God. Take all your ends and say, Lord, you plug me in where you want me to be plugged in. You connect me the way you want me to. I mean, hey, listen, young people, don't go, young lady, don't just eeny, meeny, miny, moe and get you some man and say, let us go. Some Brutus. My oldest granddaughter bought a little old dog that she thought she was really going to like. She called her mama. This just recently, and her mama was laughing about it and said, she called and said, "Mom, I just bought a dog and paid $300 for it." And she said, I'm going to do this with it. Well, that night she didn't get no sleep. It's a pup. And it was whining and crying. It wanted to get in bed with her, and as so being, she said, "I just can't take a dog in bed with him." And then, of course, you know, it wasn't trained. It wasn't potty trained. It was a horrible night. She called her mama that morning, and about 9 or 10 o'clock, she said, "Mama, I took the dog back." Said, "I lost $150, but I can't take a dog. I can't handle a dog." I said to her, I called her, I was laughing. I said, "Honey, if you think that's bad, don't just run out overnight and get you a man. You really be in trouble. You won't be able to take him back." Take that "and" of a husband and give it to God. That "and" of a wife and give it to God. Take those "ands" of life of where you're supposed to be. And I'll just say, "Lord, you "and" me. You plug me in. You lead me. And I will follow." And I like it when all of a sudden out of nowhere, God will throw an "and" in there and Ruth finds her in Boaz's field. He'll throw another "and" in there, and they're at the altar getting married. Throw another "and" in there, and now David's born. Throw a few more hundred "ands" in there, and here comes Jesus. Wow. And then throw a few more thousand "ands" from that time, of the time of the Apostle Paul, all the way down to every preacher that God ever "anded" in that finally brought the gospel to you, and you got "anded" into the family. I mean, "ands" everywhere. Bringing you to where you can know the Lord Jesus as Amen. Your Savior. Plugged in. I don't know if I've told you this story or not. I'm going to tell you again because I'm preaching. I was going to Bible college. The Lord ended that in my life. And I was going to school down there with an old boy from the mountains of North Carolina where I'd never been. Never been to North Carolina. And he came in one night and he said, "Can I read you a letter?" I said, I'm studying. He said, "Well, I need to read it to you. It's a Dear John letter." I didn't even know Dear John. I said, "Okay." He said, "All right." And so, and he read me the letter. And this nice young lady was telling him that she wanted him to serve the Lord. She felt like she, and she knew she wanted to serve the Lord, but she just didn't feel like that it was God's will for them to do it together. And that she'd pray for him. And I listened as he read, but I'm going to tell you, he got my attention. And by the time he got done with that letter, I said to him, "Well, have you got a picture of her?" He wasn't real bright. He said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Go get it." And he went and got the picture. I've still got it. He brought it to me, held that. Now, I'm telling you, I ain't no Benny the Hen now. This thing don't happen every day. Listen to me. I held that picture up, and just as real as my salvation and spirit, the Holy Ghost said to me, "There's your wife. That's your wife right there." I said, "Whoa." I looked up at him. I said, "When's the next time you're going to North Carolina?" He'd invited me home with him many times. I had no desire to go. He said, I'm going in 2 weeks, as in February. I said, "And I'll go with you." And I went to North Carolina, went into that church, and there that little lady sitting right there and was playing that piano at 18 years old. Don't ask me what he preached. I don't know what they sang. I just went there to meet the girl that God had anded into my heart. And I asked her to marry me, and she jumped. She said yes. I dated her twice, this is the truth, and asked her to marry me. Why wait when you know? You say, why? Because God did the plugging in. And I'm going to tell you something. All these husbands and wives will tell you that marriage at time ain't no picnic. It'll happen. It's ups and downs. You better make sure God put it together. If it's going to last, he better hand it in. What about this? And we know that all things work together for good And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. Did you feel that big and?
Yes.
Bouncing off the wall of your soul. God has anded us. We didn't even really realize it because them things is just so small and minor and minute and simple, just them little ands. Get your Bible and read it, and you'll find, as I said, they're just like ants just crawling over every page as God plugs everything in. I'm glad for my ands, aren't you? Boy, have you thanked God for the and of a mama, the and of a daddy, the and of a man of God, the and of a church? The ends of his blessings that brought this boy back to where he needed to be. God. Not only in a personal sense and predictable sense, but a providential sense. And that's what God's doing today. You don't even realize that there's some things happening around you that you can't even see. And they're not big enough for you to focus on, but they're God throwing some ends in there to get you all the way home. Somebody said, "Preacher, what's happening in Washington? What's happening with the politics? What's happening with all these crazy people?" He's taking us to the house of the Lord and doing so right in the midst of every bit of that history. Right in the middle of history, God throws in the ends for your story. And for my story. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the little word and.
Yes.
God breathed, God inspired.
Yes.
And so much a part of this boy's life. But oh Lord, I can see your connections and your conjunctions and your plug-ins in my own life. Even being here tonight, I thank you, Lord, for anding Brother Billy and Sister Chris into our lives. How precious it is. And to let us come, be ended into the hearts of these that are a part of this congregation. Oh, how blessed we are. And we know.
Yes, we do.
That all things, thank you, Lord. The emphasis this morning, it will be the emphasis all week. How that we need to praise the Lord.
Yes.
And thank him for the conjunctions, the connections, the things that he's brought into our lives, all those ends that brought him to us and all those ends that brought us to him. Our stories being made up of his providential hands. If you need to come, you come, whatever the Lord would say to your heart while she sings.